As a rule, Ed Hartlepool never opened letters unless they were invitations. These were opened and placed on the chimneypiece and marked with a tick or a cross to show whether he had found the time to answer them. Sometimes he even remembered to attend the wedding or drinks party he had been asked to, although for the last few years, living in the south of France as a non-dom, invitations had become scarce and his attendance scarcer. Other post was usually left unopened. No member of his family had ever thought it worth their while to read correspondence from accountants, lawyers, or bankers. Letters of this sort had been arriving at Villa Laurier with increasing frequency and remained in a pile on his desk. Every now and then, he would open a few at random, glance at the first sentence, and then throw them away unread. Ed never opened emails either, unless they were jokes. He used his computer to play online poker and couldn't see the point of it otherwise. His correspondents had long since learned it was hopeless trying to reach him in this way. His father, Simon Aylmer Francis Simmons, the fourth Marquess of Hartlepool, had died a few years ago. He had given Ed only two pieces of advice. The first was that if the opening sentence of a letter wasn't interesting, then the rest of it didn't deserve attention. The second recommendation was, a gentleman should only need to move his bowels once a day. Ed began his day at 9:30 with a cup of coffee and a couple of cigarettes on the terrace. As usual, at that time of the morning, he was clothed only in his dressing gown, preferring to swim before he began reading the English newspapers that his housekeeper would soon bring from the village. Next, it was time to obey his father's advice. He took his morning's post to the only room at Villa Laurier that in any way resembled home. When he had moved to France on his trustee's advice, he had taken the house on a 10-year lease. Most of the furniture and decoration had been acceptable. However, Ed had not found French ideas on domestic sanitation to his taste, and in this one room he had made changes. The best of English glazed ceramic sanitary ware had been imported and fitted, a lustrous mahogany loo seat and lid added. To complete the illusion, Ed had hung his old school and house photographs on the walls. He gazed at the sea of half-forgotten faces at this time every morning without thinking anything much about them. They were there merely as a silent audience while Ed performed his morning functions. As he sat there, he opened the first letter. It was from Horace, the butler at Hartlepool Hall. Ed couldn't remember the last time he had received a letter from Horace, and the shaky handwriting was at first unfamiliar to him. The letter began with the intriguing sentence, "A Lady Alice Burtley has come to stay with us, and I do not recollect that your lordship left any instructions in respect of her visit." Ed had never heard of Alice Burtley. He put the letter to one side, promising himself he would read the rest of it later. He had certainly not invited a Lady Alice or anyone else to stay at Hartlepool Hall. The second letter was from his accountant in London and almost went straight into the waste paper basket, but this time some instinct made him open it. The first sentence commanded his attention straight away, and the next, and the next. The letter informed Ed that his five-year exile as a non-dom had come to an end. A settlement had been reached by the trustees of the Hartlepool estate in the enormous and costly row with Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs that had arisen following the death of Ed's father. The figure that had been agreed was so large that Ed could not at first grasp it. It didn't seem as if the amount of money in the letter could have anything to do with him or his affairs. It was simply too large to understand. Ed's father had followed a long family tradition of leaving his affairs in a dreadful tangle. The wealth of the Simmons family had been colossal. It had survived generations of mismanagement. But somehow, the taxman's demands had always been met or else avoided. To improve matters, Ed's fathers and his advisers had designed a series of trusts, in turn owned by overseas trusts in Guernsey, in turn owned by other trusts in Liechtenstein. As a result, the fourth Marquess had paid no inheritance tax on his own father's death, and little or no income tax during his lifetime. The arrangement that had been constructed to help him avoid all this tax was so complex it was probable that no single human being fully understood them. When Ed's father died, Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs had taken Ed's trustees to court, and Ed had been advised to move abroad. Now the matter had been settled, and the bills were coming in.